I've got some things I want to share with you tonight from the book of Psalms. Go back with me, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter number 88. Chapter number 88. I'm going to read this psalm tonight, and I'm going to ask you a question. I read the psalm early this morning, looking into tonight's service, and I've read it before, of course, but I don't know that I've ever preached out of Psalm 88, and when I read it, you'll probably understand why. And I couldn't get anything. I looked at it and I read it and I prayed over it. And so I took a break and then I came back to it. And God began to finger around my heart. I actually was tempted just to skip it. Amen. It's one of the songs of instruction, one of the mascale psalms that we've been looking at. And in Psalm 88, it says, a song or a psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon, how do you say that, Mahalath Leonoth. I believe that's close. Maskel of Heman, the Ezrahite. And if you look up there under that reference right there, it's that one word means dancing with glad noises. And you're going to see something tonight, probably one of the darkest passages of Scripture that you'll ever look at. Let's start in and just read it together. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. How many of you know that sometimes, I said sometimes, we've probably all been guilty of exaggerating. But I don't believe the psalmist is exaggerating, and I'll show you why in a moment. He said, day and night have I cried before Thee. Look at verse 2. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. And here's where my title comes from tonight. Look at verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles. My soul is full of troubles. And the word trouble is plural. This man is really, really going through it. Let's read on. And my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I'm counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thine hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon Thee. I have stretched out my hands unto Thee. Wilt Thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise Thee? Selah. Shall Thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or Thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall Thy wonders be known in the dark, and Thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto Thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent Thee. Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer Thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Would you agree with me tonight? This is a troubled soul. I want to pray tonight and try to address this text. And I'm going to need God's help. But I really, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but I'm thrilled with what God has given me tonight and the way that He wants me to address this passage of Scripture. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, You didn't say most Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the word of the man of God may be truly furnished. Reproof also, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that You'd take the text and help us as Your people tonight to glean something that would just be a blessing. Help us, Lord, because, Lord, the dark days will come. Lord, I pray, help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Years ago, I can't remember who it was, but I heard a preacher that was preaching out of John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And here's what the preacher said. He said, "We're going to be in places in our life where we're going to find ourselves in trouble." He said, "The key is, don't let the trouble get in you. You're going to find yourself in trouble," but he said, "The key is, don't let the trouble get in you." The psalmist that we're looking at here, it's a maskil, or the instruction of Heman the Ezrahite. The trouble is not something going on around him. It's what's going on the inside of him. That trouble runs deep. Amen. And I want to show you some things tonight and pray that God will just help us. And I want to call the message this: instruction for a soul that's full of trouble. Instruction for a soul that's full of trouble. There's just two things tonight that I want to share, but there's several things under those two things that I want us to look at tonight. The first thing I want us to look at tonight, the instruction for the soul that's full of trouble, is we need to thank God for what we know. Did you hear me? Thank God for what we know. I know that this man is a believer. You say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" Look at verse 1. He said, "O Lord God of my salvation." This is not some drunkard or some wicked man. This is one of God's youngins. Amen. And he's in a dark place. He's in a place where his soul is full of trouble. Before he even begins to address, he's being inspired by the Spirit of God to write this down. Before he even begins to address the trouble, he said, "There's one thing I want you to know. He's the God of my salvation." And I don't know about you tonight, but I believe with all of my heart, when that trouble begins to get in a person, that might be one of the first things they lay to the side. But it ought to be in the forefront of our mind, in the forefront of our thoughts, and in the forefront of our actions. We belong to the Lord. O Lord God of my salvation. You see, Job said, "Man that is born of a woman." Turn back to Job chapter 14. We'll go there again a little bit later in the message tonight. Job chapter 14, I can quote the first verse, but I don't have the second one down. So he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But then look at verse 2. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Beloved, Brother Rose just went home to be with the Lord this week. You and I are headed that way. Amen. The Bible talks about life is but a vapor. It's here for just a little while, then it passes away. And the Word of God in the book of Job there said, man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I really do not know how some of these preachers, amen, that's always prosperity, always talking about the mountain and always talking about all the things that are good. I don't know what they do with scriptures like Job. Amen. But it's there, and it's there for a reason, because it's not all lilies and it's not all mountaintop. Beloved, there are valleys in life. So we need to thank God for what we know. You say, Pastor, what do we know? Well, we know our name. Remember when the disciples went out and they came in rejoicing because the spirits were made subject unto them. Jesus said, howbeit in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. So when the dark times come and the troublesome time comes and trouble gets on the inside, we need to just stop and thank God for what we know. Sometimes we don't know what's happening. We don't know why it's happening. But we can know that He is our God. Tonight, the first thing is thank God for what you know. What do we know as well as know that we're saved is we know that God answers prayer. Look in verse number 2. He said, let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. Turn with me to chapter 88, verse number 9. I thought it was amazing how that God just gives us a few verses and then let's pray. Gives us a few more verses and let's pray. Gives us a few more verses and let's pray. Watch what he said in verse number 9. He said, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee, and I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Beloved, I can't emphasize enough tonight. When the troubles come, we need to thank God for what we know. We know our name is written in heaven. We know there is a mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, one that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, one that knows how to succor, how to comfort His children. Look in verse number 9. We saw that there. Then look in verse number 13. A few more verses. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. So sprinkled throughout all this darkness, this man says, listen, my soul's full of trouble. I got to talk to the one who already knows about the trouble. And I got to talk to the one who is my Savior. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe with all of my heart, none of us know before the sun comes up in the morning what we may be facing. I did not expect to see two of our folks in the emergency room as I was going through on the way to ICU last night. And I know this. I've been around long enough to know trouble will come. Job did all the right things, and yet he uses these words. I believe it's in chapter number 1. Yet trouble came. He did all the right things, and trouble still came. So, instruction for a soul that's full of trouble. The first thing is, Thank God for what you know. The second thing in the message tonight is we need to praise God for what we know that others don't know. I want you to stay with me tonight. You say, Pastor, where did that come from? Beloved, this man doesn't have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He doesn't have the book of Romans. He don't have Ephesians. He don't have the Revelation. He don't know about the mystery that was revealed to Paul. Amen? Are you listening to me tonight? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This man's back over here in the Old Testament. He knows that God is his Savior, that he's trusted him as his Savior. But listen, he's talking about in the grave, God's going to forget him. He's talking about like the grave is the end of it all. He's in a dark place, but we need to tonight praise God for what we know that others don't know. And it's not just looking back to this Old Testament and this brother here in this scripture, but think about the world that we live in. How many times have you heard somebody say, what in the world do people do that don't know Jesus? We know some things that others do not know. Look in verse number 4 with me tonight. Verse 3 said, my soul is full of trouble. In verse number 4, he said here, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. What do we know that this man didn't know? Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, when the trouble comes, you and I can thank God for what we know and we can praise Him that there's some things that we know that others don't know. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. Listen to what the Bible said. And lest I should be exalted, this is the Apostle Paul, above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You think this brother knew that? No, sir. He didn't know that. Hallelujah, when you and I are so weak, we can't put one foot in front of the other and can't even look up. We can know that, yes, I'm weak, but his strength will be made perfect in my weakness. He didn't know that. Watch this now. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. Does it sound like in Psalm 88 that this man is glorying in his infirmities? You know why? Listen, he's in the dark compared to where you and I are and what we understand because we have the completed canon of Scripture. And God has shown us, beloved, listen, I'll give you example after example. Look what he said in verse number 10. He said, gladly in verse 9, I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You better not let these truths slip when the trouble comes. You and I know this brother didn't know that. The people in the world that don't know Christ don't know these things. Let's move on tonight. Look at verse number 5 down through verse number 7 for just a little bit here. Notice what the Bible said. He said, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, they're cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Look at verse 7. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. What do we know that this brother didn't know? We know that all things work together for good. He didn't know that. God didn't say all things are good. But I don't know about you, there have been times in my life when I can lean on that promise. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing it. But God, I know this. You see the big picture and I don't. And you're working together for good in my life. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I love him. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according. We ought to ask ourselves in the middle of any tribulation, do I love Jesus? And if you can answer yes to that question, then you know, beloved, you love Jesus and he loves you, then he's working something in his plan. It might be so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face, but God's a working, amen. We know things that others don't know. In Job chapter number 1, I'm not going to turn there and read tonight, but we know there was a contest going on. We know something about spiritual warfare. Job might not have understood that. All Job knew is he loved his family and he loved the Lord and he eschewed evil and he was a righteous man. He tried his best to do the right thing. Amen. Long come the devil. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Old devil said, you've got a hedge around him. You tear that hedge down a little bit, let me at him. He'll curse you. Well, he didn't do it, did he? Amen. I don't know about you. I can't imagine losing one of my children or one of my grandbabies, let alone 10. You talk about dark. You talk about a soul that's full of trouble. What do we know? Job didn't understand. In Job chapter 1, he didn't understand Job chapter 42. He did not understand that God was going to bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning. That God was going to give him more children and double up on the cattle and just overflow in his life with the blessings of God. Job didn't know that. But you and I, beloved, we know that God is working. That there is a warfare going on in every believer's life. Look with me at verse number 8 for just a moment. In Psalm 88, in verse number 8, the Bible said, thou hast put away mine acquaintance from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up and cannot come forth. This man, he didn't understand. You see, Jesus said it like this. He said, I'm alone, and yet I'm not alone. You and I can be alone, but we'll never be alone. There's, for the child of God, somebody that's going with you all the way. Someone that'll never leave you. Someone that'll never forsake you. And this man with his soul full of trouble, beloved, he does not know what you and I know. If you look at Romans chapter number 8, the last few verses, I'd like to share that with you tonight. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, the last few verses of the chapter, Paul said it like this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I didn't even know when I made that reference today. I didn't turn over there and read it. I just knew what the text was about. First thing he names is trouble. Is trouble going to separate us from the love of Christ? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but my prayer is that if I'm in the lowest of the lowest place in my life, that I'll always know He's right there with me. I may not be able to sense His presence. There's been times in my life when I couldn't sense His presence. But when you can't sense His presence, beloved, you can believe His promise. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll go with you all the way. Amen. Even to the end. I'm looking for a personal escort across the river. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. I believe that we ought to, in the instruction for a soul that's full of trouble, thank God for what we know. Then we ought to just praise Him for what we know that others don't know. In verse number 10, down through verse number 12, let's look at that just a moment. The Bible said, Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? This man didn't know there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. It didn't say the angels are rejoicing. It said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The book of Hebrews talks about so great a cloud of witnesses. The Apostle Paul told us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You see, Jesus had to be the first fruits of them that sleep. That's why in the Old Testament, people went to paradise. Paradise was divided by a great gulf. The wicked were on one side, and the righteous were on the other. They couldn't cross back and forth. You know the story with the rich man and Lazarus and Abraham. That's one of the reasons that I know, beloved, that, by the way, it's not a parable. God never used proper names in a parable. That's not a parable. That's a real story. It's a real place. Hell's a real place. They recognized each other. Do you think they know less after the resurrection of Jesus than they did before? See, He went down there and got them, didn't He? Amen. And He took them. Now, we don't go to paradise. We go to glory. Amen. And I can't explain it all. I know we're going to have a new body in the resurrection. But I know this. We're not going to get over there and not know what's going on and know one another. Amen. Because Lazarus knew. And so did the rich man. He recognized Lazarus. He recognized Father Abraham. And I believe that we'll know more even now. So He didn't know there was rejoicing. He didn't know there was a great cloud of witnesses. He didn't know to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. You and I know those things. Look at verse 14 down through verse 16. This is a dark, dark chapter in the Word of God. This man has a soul, not has a few troubles, but the Bible said is full of trouble. In verse number 14, Lord, why castest Thou off my soul? Why hidest Thou Thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer Thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. He's drowning in his troubles. They compass me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me and mine acquaintance into darkness. What do you and I know that this man didn't know? We know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. We know that this is not final. Turn with me, if you will, to Job. Put your finger in Job 14 again. God gave glimpses in the Old Testament. Job chapter 14, and back to Romans chapter number 8. Read a couple passages of Scripture. Share a couple of illustrations with you. Romans chapter number 8. I believe if, when our soul is in trouble, we're in a dark place like in this chapter, if we just thank God for what we know, I believe it would help us. And if we would just praise the Lord for what we know that others don't know. See, everybody don't believe the Bible. Everybody don't even listen to the Bible. But thank God, as believers, we know some things. Look what the Bible said in chapter number 14 of the book of Job. And I want to read verse 13 and 14. Job said, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." Now you remember, Job's lost his family, he's lost his fortune, and he's lost his health. We're talking about a man that's covered in boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I don't want to sound gross, but I know what a boil is. I've never had one, but my dad had one on his back, right in this area right here. And I'm telling you, it's ugly. It's excruciating. It got so bad, Mom would try to doctor it, and old-timers, they called it corruption. Tried to get the corruption out of it. Amen. And finally, it got so bad that Dad had to go to the doctor, and the doctor laid him on the table. And this is what they called it. They had to lance it. And it was under such pressure that when they touched it with the lance or the razor, that it hit the wall. I've seen my dad, a grown man, a picture of health, catch it as he went through a door frame or something, a tight place, and hit it. And I've seen him cry, Justin. That's one. Job's got him from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He can't sit. He can't stand. He can't lay. He's a miserable man. That's where this comes from. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Look at verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? I mean, he's glad you know the answer to that. If a man die, shall he live again? And then this is what Job said. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. God give him a little glimpse that it ain't always going to be this way. There's a change coming for the children of God. Watch this now. Romans chapter 8. Paul said it like this. He said, "For I reckon..." That's how we know he's from the south. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us." This brother in Psalm chapter 88, he didn't know that. Job didn't know that. You and I know that. We ought to thank God, beloved. There's some things you and I know that others don't know. Watch this. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him which hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, it's not just the creation groaning, but we also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I don't want to confuse anybody, but I like what one preacher said. He said, I'm just two-thirds saved. My soul, that inner man, and that spirit is saved. But there's a body that's waiting on a new body, on redemption. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that's some pretty good instruction for those that have a soul that's full of trouble. Let me see if I can find something here I want to read to you. Joe Scriven was a missionary from Ireland to Canada. You'll like this, Brother Junior, because you love music, the history behind the songs. Working among the, boy, that's a hard word to say, it looks like Iroquois Indians. He was joined by his fiancée, who was also from Ireland. Just before the wedding, she was killed in an ice accident. Joe buried her with his own hands and a broken heart. A year later, in a letter to his mother, he reflected. Here's what he said. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have you trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Joe was on the road to triumph, even though there were times when the road was rough. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. Someone said in adversity, we usually want God to remove, to do a removing job, when he wants to do an improving job. To realize the worth of the anchor, we need to experience the storm. How many's glad we have an anchor tonight? You'll never know how good it holds until you walk in the storm. One more thing tonight I want to read. These are things that spoke to my heart. You will have no test of faith that will not fit you to be a blessing if you are obedient to the Lord. I never had a trial, but when I got out of the deep river, I found some poor pilgrim on the bank that I was able to help by that very experience. That's what A.B. Simpson said. We're not going through things just to be going through them. If we'd understand that God has a purpose. You see, God knew there would be a preacher in East Tennessee that would run across a little word called mascale and would get curious about how many times it was used in the Psalms and see what God was trying to instruct us in each one of those Psalms. And God knew when this man was going through that in Psalm 88 that thousands of years later Notice I didn't say millions. I don't believe that junk. Say amen. Thousands of years later, it could be used in a pulpit at Bible Way Baptist Church. Can you all understand why I was tempted to skip it? I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I thought, it just keeps getting darker and darker and darker. I thought about Miss Eve when I was reading that a while ago about Aubrey's wreck. My granddaughter was in a wreck. She's to get married in October. What would that have been like for the man that was scheduled to marry her? I'm telling you, beloved, we need this book. Amen. I'm glad we have it, aren't you? Amen. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.